Juice Radio. I mega faulted your mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com. Welcome, everybody, to Geek Juice Radio. I'm Tom Bad Guy, your local troll. With us today, we have Alex Jowski. Alex, what's new?
Well, I hate the electric company. That's new.
And why do you hate the electric company?
Because I get home and the power's off, and I call the electric company, and they say, oh, we were supposed to turn off 214. Sorry about that.
Whoops.
We also have Kevin Daly. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I was very disappointed with Woman in Black.
Oh, do tell.
Oh, you know, it's one of those movies you see the trailer and you're not quite sure what to make of it. I'm not a huge horror movie fan to begin with, but I watch this and look, this looks pretty good. It's got the kid from Harry Potter who's actually very good. And actually, the whole cast is excellent acting, great cinematography, great, you know, just about everything. Costumes, lighting, horrible story. Poor motivation. It's a ghost story, if anybody's curious. Poor motivation for the ghost. Very disappointing. It has a 7.0 on IMDb, so apparently I was the only person who thought it was disappointing.
Also, we have Numb Renditions. Frank, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. My mic port on my computer broke, so I'm Skyping with you guys on my mobile device.
Technology, baby!
Joining us remotely from Frank's car.
We have a special guest on the show tonight. We have Mr. Adam Scorpius Jones.
Woo! Hold your applause, please, until I'm at the end of it.
Hold that.
Yeah, hold that applause.
In relation to Cleopatra Jones.
And we have Adam on the show tonight because we're going to talk about some stuff that happened, and I'm going to Twitter speak, hashtag cross assault, hashtag drama. FTC.
FTC drama out the ass.
Oh, and also I do want to start by saying that this episode is going to air like a week and a half after, so we're not trying to beat a dead horse here or trying to stir it up again. We kind of want to just talk about the topic and like how it affects more than just fighting games and how it affects other communities, but we're not trying to stir anything up. We're just gonna touch on what happened and then just go in from there. None of you know, none of our listeners know. This past weekend, by I guess when you listen to this, the last two weekends, Capcom had a reality TV series called Cross Assault. Now, basically, they took 10 players that play in fighting games, and they put them on a reality show to play a new game called Street Fighter Cross Tekken. There was a Team Street Fighter team composed of 5 players and a Team Tekken composed of 5 players, and each team had a coach. Now, the drama that happened was a sexual harassment issue regarding the Team Tekken coach, Eris, and a player on the team on Team Tekken called Superian, also known as Miranda. I can't pronounce the last name.
Yeah, Miranda is good.
Miranda P.
Hereby referred to as Miranda.
Yeah. So basically what happened was, I guess Eris said some stuff. The one thing I did notice on the interwebs was something regarding her bra size. There was also something else I read on the Giant Bomb article about she felt like she was getting mistreated, not coached all, just because she was a woman.
Or she was coached improperly.
Yeah.
Or not getting the same coaching time that the male players got. And also just the kind of derogatory side remarks here and there that maybe some of the male players didn't get. I don't know.
Yeah. And that was kind of the basis of the issue. And it blew up.
It was a nuclear bomb drop on Twitter. Yeah. Basically. Everyone and their mom was like, oh my God, cross assault, hashtags everywhere. Yeah, it was madness.
And basically, the story that I saw that broke out was on Long Island Joe's stream, where he was talking.
Like.
Yeah, yeah, his stream is awesome. Twitch.tv or twitch.tv/thisisLIJoe.
Yeah, yeah.
Best stream ever.
Yeah, yeah.
But he basically had a bunch of people in the fighting game community calling him up on Skype, and he was streaming it to kind of talk about it. And I mean, he got input from Star Slayer,
yeah.
Triforce,
Sherry. Sherry Genix called in.
And Eris the man himself.
Eris called in to say aside the story and kind of set some things straight. It was really awesome stream because of its like guerrilla radio-ness of it and the way he had the iPhone like propped on top of the microphone.
Yeah.
And just like, oh my God, this guy's calling. I got another call on the line. This guy's called back in 5 minutes. But yeah, it was good. Everyone got to say their opinion about it and kind of put it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to hear, of course, Eris' side of the whole thing.
Yeah.
and kind of set something straight.
Well, here's the weird thing, because Eris aside on Joe's stream, he was kind of saying that, like, this is how he made it out on the stream from what I listened to. This is at least what I got out of it. He was kind of saying that everybody at Cross Assault was having a miserable time.
Basically.
And that everybody was tired and it was a different experience. It wasn't what anybody thought. And I think it's kind of hinting that everybody's just getting frustrated and kind of flipping out and blowing things out of proportion. He also said that he didn't think he was doing anything, like, really super bad, but he said he was being himself and, like, you know, he can be a dick.
Yeah.
And you either accept it or you don't.
Totally. Right? I mean, anyone who's followed Eris or knows anything about Eris he's a really outspoken guy. And, I mean, even when he was on Cross Counter Live, he kind of did a few jabs and stuff like that. That's kind of the way his personality is. Of course, it doesn't excuse taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
But maybe he just said some comments that he thought weren't going to be as big as they were.
Because what exploded later was articles that you could read on Giant Bomb, Kotaku, Penny Arcade, Destructoid. He was trying to re-clarify his experience. This was some of the stuff he said. He was saying that sexual harassment was part of the scene, and that without the scene... or without sexual harassment, the fighting game community wouldn't be the same.
True. I think that was on, I don't know if that was on the Twitch TV live stream he said that when he was talking to Jared.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
He was saying that.
I think he might have, yeah.
And Jared was like, really? Like, that's
like acceptable? Yeah. Because
I thought it was a fighting game.
I don't know any of the guys' names. It was the conversation of the guy who's part of the StarCraft community. He was saying he wished the fighting game community was more like the StarCraft community.
Apparently it goes on in that community too, though, from what I've heard. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, it goes on in every community.
This is a really good point to talk about, because you're saying too that Kevin was saying it goes on in the board game like community stuff too, and that kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, Kevin,
it was all over the place.
Yeah,
it's been a huge issue recently in the RPG community. What was it? There was a specific story about a convention that basically has like scantily clad women. Like it's like a competitive RPG experience. So it's like you have to have a max. Min-maxed character, super hard content. But it's like, while that's going on, these like girls in scantily clad clothing are taunting the players, and this is bizarre shit. And it's become an issue with, like, because the whole community has always been largely male oriented, so it's been kind of viewed as exclusionary. And it's been a big issue recently, just the treatment of women in the RPG community. You know, the kind of form, like if you have some of the bigger, like Sarah Dark Magic and some of the other female bloggers, always get these like super sexist, misogynist comments and stuff on their blogs.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of the nature of the internet in general, but it's just, it's interesting because the whole thing kind of spilled over into some of the areas I'm involved in because it was such a big deal.
And that's the thing too. He was saying that like with the sexual harassment being part of the community, he clarified later on when he had released a statement later on where he kind of clarified some of the points he was making.
Yeah.
But initially, though, when he said that sexual harassment was part of the community and everyone really disagreed with that, but basically what he meant was that in games, especially like in the arcade games like that, there's kind of a hostile scene to begin with kind of the challenging and people challenging other people to a position and whatnot, and that all that kind of joking and kind of dissing on each other is part of that, which, I mean, arguably it is if you're from that old school. It was always like that, but, I mean, nowadays things are changing.
Well, it's also like, I mean, yeah, you could do that, but, I mean, if somebody gets uncomfortable, I mean, they get uncomfortable. Right. And I mean, there should be a line, but Frank, I think you had something to say.
Oh, I was going to say, I hate how automatically, just because you're associated with something, it's just like sports, you know? If you're associated with something, you're automatically associated with whatever happened, you know what I mean? Like Kevin was saying, you know, they have all those girls who do that at the gaming shows, and some of them view it as weird. Well, you know, what if somebody's gay, you know what I mean? Like, how do they see that, you know? People need to understand that entertainment is entertainment, and it's not, we don't have to try and formulate it into sections to try to appease the certain groups.
Well, the thing is, it's entertainment while it's entertainment, but when it goes to that over the limit, that point where it crosses the line is a line that's been crossed. And I mean, he was saying it's integral to the scene and everything, but it may have been integral to that old scene, all that hostility. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's cool now.
Let's be honest, was 99.9% male.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, well, that's what I'm saying. They try to appeal to that, though.
Yeah, the only girl I ever saw in an arcade worked there, and you can tell she hated the job.
Well, leading back to Cross Assault, what made a big thing is because with Miranda on one of the days, she forfeit her position on the show, which is what made everybody want to question it.
Yeah, towards the end of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So then that's when all the drama happened and the sexual harassment was thrown in there between like Eris towards Miranda. And then Eris's comments, which I'm just going to go out there and say, were really stupid to say, because as a fan of the fighting games, I feel like I felt so insulted, because I feel like I did feel like it kind of reflected towards me. It's like, yeah. Well, you know, in common sense, obviously it's one guy's remarks, but just at that time, you kind of feel like, you know, hey man, you know, I like this stuff too. Yeah. And don't, if you want to sit here and say that, that's fine, but don't sit there and say, this is part of the scene. This is part of this, where there's so many other people that obviously don't agree with you.
And he generalized his statements. He kept saying things like, everyone in the community is like this.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah. They're not. And, what was the thing he said? He was saying that, like, you play basketball, and you take the basketball up and put baseball in. It's not basketball anymore. Like, he's trying to make, like, a metaphor for it.
Yeah, well, and I mean...
That's a terrible metaphor.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. He was saying that, like, basically what he said was that if you take sexual harassment out of the fighting game community, it's not the fighting game community anymore.
Because apparently it's the core is sexual harassment or something.
But to be fair...
It's not the fighting game. It's all about the sexual harassment.
Yeah. We've all seen Chun-Li.
Yeah.
No, but to be fair, like, he did come out with the other statement afterwards and, like, apologize. Yeah, but we'll get to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, I consider us, like, part of the, like, extended community.
Yeah.
We don't, like...
Yeah, we're community B. We're not community A.
We're working on getting into A.
Yeah.
None of that holds true for, you know, us, obviously. Yeah. And this is funny that, like, this has always kind of been around. Even, like, Filipino Champ, when he first came out, he was on the podcast, Wake Up SRK podcast, talking about, like, girls can't play and girls can't play the game and this and that. I was like, that's a really stupid, really negative, ignorant thing to say, I think, especially once I, like, learned basically how to play the game online from Cutie of the Month.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the best. And, like, those all-night sessions in Street Fighter Vanilla, drinking 7 hours all night, drinking Pabst and getting my ass kicked all night. Like, I can tell you girls can play.
Yeah. And, with Filipino Champ, I mean, yeah, he said that, but at least he wasn't, like, going up to a chick. Hey, babe, what's your bra size? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean...
That's a little much.
But then later after all this drama, today, I found on Kotaku.com, Eris did bring out an apology. He apologized, and he clarified, too. He's sorry to offend anybody. He said that he was really emotional and that he just kind of said that stuff because he felt like his lifestyle, like for the fighting game community, was getting threatened and he felt like he just had to stand up for it. But he said that he was really emotional about it, didn't really think about it too much. But he did apologize.
Drained and tired.
Yeah. And I also do want to point out that several people have said that, you know, that Eris is a great guy. Long Island Joe said that. Yeah,
totally.
Mike Ross, Gutex. Chensor.
And
Chensor said that today.
Just a little bit of following. I mean, just kind of like following this community a lot since pretty much the game has come out. Like, he seems, from everything I've seen, he seems like a really cool guy, like a really jokey, kind of friendly guy to be around.
He's got a great beard.
He has a kick-ass beard. Yes, it is pretty epic. But you know, I guess there's a line.
Well, yeah, see, there is a line. But, like, here's the thing. He seems like maybe he's a guy, like, you have to let him know of your borders first. Like, like if you don't say anything, like he's just gonna gonna trash on you, and you're like, "Hey man, could you not doing that?" And I bet you he's probably nice enough to be like, "Oh, okay, you know."
And that's the exact point that Sherry brought up when she called him to the Long Island Joe stream. You know, I've known Eris for a long time. This is kind of just the way he is. You know, you're gonna need to stick up for yourself. You're gonna need to stick up for yourself and stop it as soon as it happens.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you just laugh and go along with it, it's gonna just keep continue and get worse. But like you were saying earlier, though, maybe that's just not the kind of person that she is. You know.
Yeah, it's some. I mean, everybody handles stuff differently.
Definitely.
From what I read was Miranda was trying to laugh it off because maybe she felt uncomfortable, but she felt like she had, you know, because I mean, they're part of a team. And there's a lot of pressure on the line to perform and everything. So maybe she felt like, oh, he did this, I'll laugh it off. Because, I mean, she doesn't want to get isolated or alienated, which is which almost seemed like what happened
in the beginning.
To enough to, like, make her forfeit her position. So, I mean, now that we got that out of the way, so that happened, let's talk about sexual harassment just in video game community, like, in general. Where is the line drawn?
Just, like, gaming.
Just anything. Yeah, I mean, just, like, where is the line drawn? Where is the part where it's like, yeah, you know, you can give somebody guff for how they perform in a game, but not necessarily it's like, oh, you suck because you're some stupid slut. Like, you don't want to say anything like that. But what's the line? What are the limits? What do you guys think?
One reason that, you know, Martha doesn't play Warcraft anymore is because of the sexual harassment that went on in World of Warcraft.
Oh, wow.
Do tell.
I mean, any time that a player would know that she's a girl, it would be nothing but just harassment and hitting on her and a lot of that, what's your bra size stuff? And then they wouldn't let her into groups because, oh, girls can't play video games.
Girls don't exist on the internet, it's the old adage.
Yeah, and when I would play, if I had a female avatar, if I played as a female character, I'd have guys hitting on me. And then when I told them I am a male player, they'd be like, oh, well, you must be gay because you're playing a girl character.
Well, I mean, that's just trollish. That's
yeah. But it does cross a line towards sexual harassment.
Well, yeah, it does. Well,
especially with the girls, because if you can't play a game without being constantly asked what your bra size is, why would you play the game?
That's true.
I think, yeah.
Well, it's just what it is you have a bunch of nerds. There's a reason the stereotype exists. Look, obviously, D&D is my thing. I'm a huge nerd. But let's be honest. A lot of guys who really don't have a clue about how to react around women. It's what it is. And unfortunately, what that does is it breeds a sort of like hipster, almost like a hipster contempt for women. Like a all boys club. Like it's fucking little rascals.
It's
like
gross.
Girls can't play. Girls can't be. You know, if the girls are there, they're bad. They're noobs and they can't play. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to. That's what a lot of these idiots think. The problem is, you know, we've known that exists in the community forever. We've been involved in the community. The problem is with this situation, it's on a national stage. People who are not necessarily interested in before in the gaming community were watching this and yeah. Suddenly, oh, look, they're as immature and as pathetic as we think they are.
Yeah, it reflects
badly on everybody involved in the community, not just the fighting game community, but anybody involved yeah. in any kind of gaming whatsoever.
Well,
that's true. Go ahead.
I was going to say the thing I've noticed, because I've played a lot of Call of Duty online. I know a thing to talk about. I used to play Modern Warfare 2 all the time, and sometimes there'd be girls that were in there, and it just depends on the kind of people you're in there with, because I'm a very professional individual. So an event like that, I think they should have been more professional about it. You know, they should have treated them as equals instead of, yeah. Oh, we have a girl here. You know what I mean? Like
they were under a spotlight, and I don't know if Eris even thought about that or if any people really thought about that, but it's a good point about how like the community, like I think the whole gaming community pretty much, like we like to troll a lot.
Yeah,
that's kind of what
yeah.
we do. The show hadn't even started yet and there was already people with screen name like EMP Miranda's thighs and stuff like that. It's
yeah.
just kind of the way we do it, but I don't know, how do you get rid of that thing? How do you move
well
past that?
I mean haters yeah. gonna hate,
it's true, yeah,
and trollers gonna troll,
yeah.
Like I mean, that's gonna be there. The best thing to do is for you, yeah, start I think at the top, because they're gonna set the example for everybody else.
That's true, yeah.
So take like players like Justin Wong, like Ricky Ortiz, Flo. I'm naming all the evil geniuses for some reason.
You got a good team.
Juicebox, that's right, you're top tier. And they start, and then it just trickles down. And I just think it's common sense. Like this is what I think. Because if FGC wants to get huge, I mean, obviously all the sponsors are going to be like, you're going to cut that. You got to cut that crap mm-hmm. out. You know,
yeah.
there's not meaning that. But I do agree that with, like, I'm not talking about sexual harassment. I'm just talking about make maybe talking in general. Cut that out. That does kill a lot of the attitude and personality of it. But, I mean, it might have to be a necessary sacrifice in order to get bigger. Now, I think talking should stay in FGC, but it should be moderated to, oh, you suck at playing that game. Not you suck at playing that game because you're a homosexual. Not anything yeah. like that. Yeah, talk about...
It should be friendly. Friendly yeah. talking of Smash.
Well, I mean, not even friendly. Like, if he loses, somebody pops off, and you're like, just as long as you're not like, f*** this, you homo. Like, because, oh, so you lost because I'm gay? You know, like, something like that.
I think that certain people do lead by example, and like if you're playing Call of Duty or World of Warcraft or something, and you see that kind of stuff going on, you know, you speak up and be like,
yeah.
you know, you can be like, yeah, whatever, bro, you're hating on her, but she whooped your ass, like
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that kind of what you're saying, leading by example, is going to
yeah.
be the thing that changed it, because there used to be a lot of, I mean, there still is a lot of anti-gay stuff everywhere, but Ricky Ortiz is one of the top players and he's gay and he just destroys everyone, and it's like they have nothing, they literally have nothing to say because he's really good.
And Ricky is fierce.
Ricky is
one thing about the players and their. Yeah. Smack talking. Most of them, they think they're just somebody playing a game, playing it as they would play it,
yeah.
but they don't realize that they are role models for people that are fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. And also
Charles Barkley, though, you know,
but he is. He may yeah. not act like it, but
he says I'm not and I don't care, basically. I don't know if you remember that back in the day, because he was always criticized for his, because he talks a lot of smack.
But you keep it on the field, though. That's what I'm saying. I mean, NFL Sunday, every single game, and these are broadcast throughout everyone's televisions. Kids watch these games. Players are, you know, it's in the trenches, man. People are cussing at each other. It's competitive sports.
Yeah.
And And you can't cut that out. You just have to not show that. That's the thing. Now, when you push it to that next level, when it becomes, you know, threats and hatred, that's where you have to stop it. There's a certain level where there's competitive smack talking, and then there's just, you know, you just don't say certain things, you know?
Oh, like...
Yeah. Well, it's like common sense, basically. There's just some things you do, and there's some things you don't do. I mean... Yeah,
especially if you're sponsored or you're playing...
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, and see, and that's the thing, because what do you think these sponsors as those situations... Because I think they should take another look at it to make sure that they don't do that, depending on how big it blows up. Because I think it's blown up pretty big for FGC, yeah. but not like, I mean, it could blow up even bigger.
But so, somebody like Eris here, who would generate a lot of negative controversy, he would have a hard time finding sponsors because of it.
Yeah, but he doesn't give two s about it, obviously. Well, the bigger problem is that it comes back all on the rest of us.
Yeah,
and then you have articles of people being like, oh, the fighting game community is all misogynist and all this
and
that.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
And it was a really bad start. Now, personally...
And like I said, it's not just the fighting game community, it's gaming in general. It makes us all look bad.
And on a personal note, for as far as Cross Assault goes, now this could just be me, I thought it was a horrible idea, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is gonna be stupid. Now I'm biased because I hate like reality TV stuff like that, but I just thought it was a stupid idea. It's like a little bit of me of as happy is because something big was happening in FGC, but I just hated what they decided to do. And of course, on our first, what I feel our first kind of mainstream thing was just blowing up in our face. That show was horribly produced. And then you have an issue like that on like the first thing, like it's like, all right, we're gonna start the race by falling backwards and rolling down a hill, and like that's how we're gonna start our race. Let's go.
It was good for drama.
It was
every day.
As a reality show, nothing could possibly have been better.
Yeah. There was just on Twitter every day, just like, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? Who's playing? Who's gonna be training next? And but I like the seed though of the idea. I like the idea of having something like that. And hopefully next time they'll do it with better, where it's like, you know, top players all really playing. And
yeah.
Like,
well, and I also
a better director.
Yeah.
Like that's one thing we need to ask for. Next time they do it better, but also take a lesson from this and like have a document saying, don't do this, or you will be held liable for it. I mean, come on.
That kind of still surprises me that the Warcraft stuff is like that, because I know that there's a big female presence in Warcraft.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, obviously, because there's a lot of immature kids who would just be like, oh my god, like a girl, you know, oh my god.
Yeah.
But, like, you would think that, you know, they'd seen enough of it by that point or something.
It's part of the base community. I played EverQuest back in 98, I think, 99. And no, there were no girls playing. I knew, like, three girls that played that game, but it wasn't as big at the time. Now it's, you know, the MMO genre in general is actually, by percentage, a much higher percentage of...
Yeah.
Female players. But back then, you know, my sister would play on my account and just flirt with guys and get tons of stuff. No joke.
That's called abusing the system.
Yeah, she's
saying.
Yeah.
Well, with regards to it, each different gaming community has their own moderation. Like, if you're playing a game of Street Fighter online and you don't like what the other person is saying, you just don't play with that person. It's that easy.
Well, FGC is kind of like in like the womb stage, because there's a lot of childish immaturity out there. So saying something like that, I think like the feedback saying like, no, you should be friendly about it, I guarantee like 80% of the feedback would be like, that shit. No, if somebody does something to me, I'm gonna and pop off to them. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. Yeah, well, when you get too much of that, how can anybody really take it seriously? If all they're seeing is like, they're just a bunch of men who are, based on what happened recently, feels like a bunch of boys just yelling cuss words at each other. Like that's
I'm going to put it this way. If Tom Brady came out there and just started yelling, rape that bitch, I think we'd have a problem.
He'd probably be dropped from all sponsors
find out the ass.
Yeah, but that's a
Tom
good
Brady
point.
Was fined $6.7 million today.
Yeah. That's a good point, though, about the EverQuest and the World of Warcraft, how there's more female gamers in it. That's a good point about the EverQuest, because as there is more female players, there's more top female players, and there's more of them to be like, you know, you can talk how much trash you want, but they're the best. Mm-hmm. So maybe we just need more female gamers. Well,
and there's also the smack you talk.
That would help. But the problem is, it seems like the fighting game community is so insular and exclusive. Like the whole thing what Eris was saying. You know, we hate you as soon as you come in here. We want this just to be our little club.
Right.
It's very
exclusivity. That's the problem.
It's a very selfish way of thinking, which is when he said that stuff, I don't think he was thinking about how is this going to reflect He was just saying because that's how he felt. Like he said, he got emotional.
It's all true to a certain extent, except for it being an integral part of the community. A lot of that stuff is true in the past, like back in the day, in the arcade scene. But I think just as games come and go, that certain things the community holds true should come and go as well.
Yeah, and evolve. Evolve and adapt, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what everything has to do. And so some people fear the change.
Yeah, but come on, changing, you know, something that's that terrible, like it's something that it needs to change. It needs to happen.
That insular part of it is... The fighting game community, even back in its arcade games, is the only gaming community I've ever heard of where somebody actually has the attitude of, well, we don't want you in our game. Because with any other MMO, they're out there recruiting people.
I think that that's also more of an old school mentality myself personally, because there's a lot of people too who like on streams, on the forums, like they really hate noobs, don't want noobs in there and stuff like that. But I heard something interesting that Seth Killian, one of the special advisors at Capcom, said not so long ago. He said that noobs are the lifeblood of this community.
Yeah, they are.
Because without them, your game becomes, not to talk any trash about anyone's game, but like CBS2 or something where like people lose interest after a while and all you have is this, you know, you can be elitist and you can be very, oh, you can't enter this private club. But after a while, you have a tiny group of three guys who play the game and no one else gives two craps about the game because no one's playing it. So you need to bring, that's why whenever I get on the streams and stuff, I like to troll, of course, too, but I like to also be helpful and answer questions and stuff, because I think that that's the only way to bring more people in to make the community even bigger than it was. And that's how people, I mean, if it wasn't for that, no one would be getting sponsored. We wouldn't have these huge tournaments like Evo and all this other stuff. So it's necessary.
I mean, some of the FGC players and probably gamers in general, there's two things I think they need to focus on. One, they need to realize that, this is a game that probably got, these games got big in the arcade, and we accept that. And we hold that as a great foundation of how this started was in the arcade.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's growing and it's blooming. And you have to understand that these games aren't for people in the arcade. These games, at least according to the companies, they're going to put this on the shelf for a price. And if you buy it, I mean, you can play the game. All right. This game isn't exclusive. It's for anybody who wants to buy it. It's for anybody who wants to pay and go to a tournament. I mean, it's free to buy. There is nothing. And it's a very selfish and old way of thinking. I mean, when we have something like mainstream, like Cross Assault, I mean, you have to really, I'm going to talk about freedom of speech or free speech, not necessarily like, you know, I can say whatever I want, that free, not like that. I'm talking about like a literal sense of free as in you're not charged for anything. If you're on a public forum like Eras and everybody at CrossFit was, there's no such thing as free speech. You have to pay for every single thing you say. So if something happens, like a sexual harassment suit, you have to answer that. You can't just do that and like nothing's going to happen about it.
Because it reflects badly on everyone.
Well, and it's also because it's public. Everybody sees this stuff happening. You can't just do it and say, well, it's just the way I think. And then, but of course, you know, I'm sure that's what you thought. And then you see the uproar and then you kind of wonder, like, I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
All right. Totally. I'm glad he apologized. I'm super happy he apologized. Mm-hmm. I accept it. But I mean, everybody has to realize that, you can't just sit there and just say that. I mean, you can, technically, this is America, but I mean, you will pay for it.
See, that's the problem, though, is that if you're some random kid in World of Warcraft or something, you're anonymous. So you can do and say whatever you want and troll as hard as you want.
Well, here's the thing. Just because you can say anything you want doesn't mean you should say anything you want.
Well, that's true. Like, it all goes back to me for, like, just common sense. Like if you know you shouldn't do something, then you probably shouldn't do it.
The MMO community has its issues with the insularity stuff too. I mean, spent a lot of time reading the forums and people complaining about, oh, the game is catering to the casuals. That's the big complaint right now, that the game is being redesigned. Warcraft always had this accusation. Star Wars: The Old Republic has this. That basically it's being dumbed down. It's too easy now. Well, guess what? You guys, you are no lifers. You can play 90, 100, 120 hours a week. You guys don't make up the majority of the subscriptions.
Yeah,
that's the money true. Comes from the people who are playing, you know, an hour or two a day.
That's true.
And then the more those people come in and play, the better they get, and the more they'll actually attend tournaments and stuff and actually make it bigger.
Yeah, you can't just make it like EverQuest was like that. You had to play hardcore. I tell you, I played probably something like an average of 8-10 hours a day in high school. I would get home and just play. So I'd finish all my homework in class, and that's all I did for a whole year and a half. 18 hours a day on a weekend, that's all I did. So, I mean, it used to be like that. That used to be the community, and it's that old school mentality that's kind of – that it holds things back, holds development back.
It does. I just think – honestly, people need to just – I mean – grow up. I mean, grow up and learn acceptance. I mean,
I think even just talking about it, that's why I think this is a good topic because it's everywhere, obviously. Mm-hmm. But even like acknowledging it and acknowledging that I've always thought the best way to stop any kind of stuff like that is just to address it immediately when it happens.
Yeah.
And just be like, you know, I mean, even I did that with like Cutie of the Month. I said, again, yeah. playing to different people on there online. I'd be like, you know, you can say all you want about her, but she's obviously destroying all of us.
Yeah.
So like, she's doing something right. And yeah. So just as long as we like, I think, acknowledge it and stop it, I think that's a good start at least.
Yeah. And to wrap up this topic, I just want to do some mad shout-outs. Going back to Why Island Joe's stream, best stream ever, by awesome. The way. Yeah, it was, awesome. Was good.
Like, that kept me up so late.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to go do other things.
On that was Isaiah Triforce.
Triforce is there, yeah.
And he did say something that I gave him mad respect for, because he went on Joe's show, and he basically said, everybody needs to just leave the woman alone, and you accept them. You need to treat them right. We need to accept everybody into the community, mm-hmm. and everybody just needs to stop that bullshit. Or I'm sure, as he would say, the fraudulent garbage.
Fraudulent garbage.
Yeah. And, that, like, I mean, I get mad props for that. Mad props to Joe for that show.
Yeah.
His stream, twitch.tv/thisisLIJoe, is awesome.
He hustled that night. Yeah. He had all that stuff going. It was great.
And on a... I want to give shout-outs to GamingPersona.net for mentioning me on their website on Wednesday, February 29th, because this will be a week later, regarding my article I wrote on FGC today. Mad shout-outs to them.
Are you there, Frank?
Yes, I am.
I thought right. you dropped there.
Me and Abney, take five. Discuss a small topic.
Will you destroy this
later? I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
If only I was moving to Arizona.
How does Arizona like the rain, girl?
What?
Haven't you seen Twilight?
No.
That's a quote from Twilight. Yes, I quoted Twilight.
Wow. The lowest low.
The lowest of lows.
The actual line is, "Sup, Arizona, how you liking the rain, girl?"
It sounds like a bad rap song.
Yeah.
Like a really bad, like the kind you hear on the radio and you just want to like crush your ears in with broken glass. Like
the opening to a Lil Wayne song. Yes, I do not like Lil Wayne. Put that out there.
He's better than some other people, but I definitely know what you mean because I don't like 90% of his songs.
All right, all of Young Money can suck a big fat That's all I got to say.
Yeah, the boy's got, the one thing the boy has is good punchline. Good punchline rapper. He's got those nice little jokes in there that
like Ludacris.
Well, I always like Ludacris's puns because most of his songs are puns.
All right, Kevin, why the f*** do you like episode one?
It's hard to describe. I hadn't seen it in years when I went to see it again, and I discovered a couple of things. First of all, Jar Jar, annoying, yes. Racist, yes. Though not as much as some of the other characters in the movie. But the kids love him. I was in the theater with about, you know, 9 kids. And every time he opens his mouth, they're cackling. So the reason Jar Jar exists is purely for the kids.
Well, I always think that, like, R2-D2 would be there for the kids.
Yeah.
Like, the droids were there.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of... Here's the thing. The droids, though, it's kind of like a gay couple. C-3PO always come across as kind of like a gay couple to me.
They do. They're little squabbles.
It's funny.
Or maybe like the odd couple.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how you want to look at it.
Oh, like Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
Well, they tried that with the Droids cartoon, remember? So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, Frank. Nostalgia overload.
I never saw the Droids cartoon.
Me and my brother, there was this one part. I can't remember what it was, but we would rewind it and play it over and over again. Just one line that was hilarious. They didn't even use guns in that. But that's what I mean. George Lucas likes to appeal to children. So
I mean, yeah, Jar Jar made more sense to me. Though my favorite part watching the whole movie, because, you know, I could, having roughly an idea of the plot, what's going on, I can kind of focus on other things. The thing that made me laugh the most is that 95% of the scenes with Jar Jar in it, everybody in the scene ignores his existence.
Yeah.
So you have this scene, it's like, oh, I got just hit my face in this electric thing in the pod racer. No one acknowledges his existence.
Yeah, they do. They're just like, okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of scenes where he's important as he's acting kind of like a diplomat between the Naboo and his and the Gungans. But that's about it. And it's kind of funny.
They made him a general.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
And Jar Jar? All people to make general, they're going to make Jar Jar a general?
Well, here's the thing. Jake Lloyd.
This is pod racing, Kevin.
Yeah, well, Jake Lloyd's terrible. I mean, there's no way around that. I have no excuse for that. But, you know, I kind of like the subtle political message. I like how manipulative Palpatine is. I finally figured out why the Trade Federation is attacking Naboo. It's because he's the senator from Naboo, so it gives him a power leverage in the whole vote of no confidence thing with the Senate. It gives him a chance to become chancellor. It's a great manipulation. And overall, the acting is not bad. Ewan McGregor sounds shockingly like Alec Guinness. It was kind of creepy.
I didn't really connect that dot.
Here's one thing, though, I noticed about why Jake Lloyd is so bad, is that he's not as bad as you think he is.
No, I think he's pretty bad.
Because he's young, he's childish, he's happy all the time. Because if you think about it, it makes a really good counter to the fort, to the dark side. That this happy-go-lucky kid became the evil Darth Vader. It's just the problem is that Hayden Christensen played that character arc so bad, it makes Jake Lloyd look over the top.
No, Hayden Christensen did better than Jake Lloyd.
I didn't like
Jake
Lloyd from the first time I saw the movie, so that wasn't...
No, it's the way Jake Lloyd delivers his lines. Like, when he's speaking that other language, I've never wanted to strangle a child so much in my life. it was horribly delivered.
They all speak Huttese on, because it's a Hutt-controlled planet. That's one of the little subtle things I liked. I'm like, oh, everyone's speaking Huttese. That's cool.
Yeah, well,
Jake Lloyd speaking the same language as Jabba the Hutt.
Yes.
Well, and it's as if, like, they're like, grab this kid, don't give him an acting class, and let's just see what the f*** happens. Like, Jake Lloyd was terrible.
I saw it for the first time the day. I'm the only person on the Earth who hasn't seen the whole trilogy, the whole end of the trilogy, whatever. I thought it was all right. I mean, he's a kid. Like, I don't know what you can really compare him to as a child actor. Like, who else could you? Elijah Wood and the other son, maybe? Like,
It was better than that.
I mean, these are, for what he
well,
was.
Well, the problem is a lot of kids, when you start giving them dialogue, sound not the correct age. The Fred Savage and the Wizard Syndrome.
Yeah, where he sounds like an old man.
Yeah.
I'll take Dick Fanning in War of the Worlds over Jake Lloyd in episode 1.
They should have just recast Anakin as a girl and had Chloe Grace Moritz play her.
No, George Lucas should just, like, redo the entire film and just make a 3D Anakin and just totally make him CG.
On the racist matter, though, everyone talks about how racist Jar Jar is, and don't get me wrong. He's got that Jamaican thing going on, and it's...
some Gungan's gonna die.
It's pretty bad. It's bad, but the worst is the Nemoidians, the Trade Federation guys, who sound like they're in yellowface. Oh, very good, very good. Oh my god, terrible.
Yellowface.
But does that say something about our society that we didn't notice that until recently, though? Because I didn't notice that until I watched it this time.
Right, yeah. I think that does say a lot about how I was raised. Anyway.
Okay.
So that's what I get for growing up in Orange County. No, Orange County. I had all Chinese friends, Chinese American friends, and I still didn't put the puzzle pieces together.
I know. I've watched anime my entire life, so I just
if we're talking about Jar Jar, I guess the reason I'm here cuz I'm the closest thing you guys could find to a black person. So.
Surprise.
I'm half, so I'm close enough. Yeah. Like, Jar Jar, it's obviously, like, some racism there, because he's got, like, the dreads hair, and he talks, the way he talks, the mist of this. They got the spherical weapon, basketball-like weapons, or whatever. Like,
I don't know if it's a basketball, but it's definitely supposed to be like a sling. Yeah. Like how they're used, well, which is just as bad.
Well, yeah. Adam, does Jar Jar make you want to go black rage?
No, this is the thing, like watching it, or after watching it, like I found him, of course it was like semi-racist or whatever, but I found him just more annoying as a character overall more than anything else. Like kind of like Kevin was saying, that like he more just kind of stumbles around and like has really lame jokes.
He's like filler.
Yeah, basically filler. But I did,
you could remove him from the movie and it wouldn't make the movie any different.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, I do like the fact that he was the general on the battlefield and he's so clumsy, he's winning the war through accidents. Like, that's kind of funny. But the whole character just overall just kind of annoying.
Well, here's the thing, speaking of the racism thing, is it racist that it's in that movie, or is it racist that most of us white people are just pointing out that it's racist? Oh, look, he has, like, the Jamaican dreads and he kind of speaks Jamaican. Now, am I racist for pointing that out, or because nobody else would look at that?
No, just watching it. You can watch it for 2 seconds and hear him go, blah, 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 blah. You're expecting him to break out into, like, a soft shoe tap dance or something like that any moment. But it's, like, it was just more annoying and unnecessary.
Yeah, is us saying Jar Jar Binks is racist no better than, like, those groups of offended parents that try to get every show pulled off the air for any minor reason?
I'm going to tell you something right now. You are all racist. Everyone's a racist.
Okay, so basically what we're saying is Jar Jar Binks' inspiration for Avatar. That's where we're going.
Okay, yeah. That's a good spin to put on it. Yeah. James Cameron saw that. I can do better. You know,
yeah, I can offend more.
Yeah. With Phantom Menace, you know, I went in hating it, thinking it was one of my least favorite movies of all time, and it came out kind of liking it.
Yeah.
I think I like it better than Return of the Jedi, to be honest.
You.
You're just trolling. You're just trolling.
Those are fight points. Episode one, your thoughts.
Okay. Well, episode one is probably the second worst movie in the series. Everyone knows Attack of the Clones by now is the worst.
Yes, it is.
I think Revenge of the Sith is the worst of the six.
That's not the first
one. No, Revenge of the Sith is the best of the six. Don't even.
You so, like the third one the best, really?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I like the third one best because it's not Attack of the Clones. It's Attack of Bad Puberty Dialogue. That's what episode two is.
Sand is coarse.
You mean you really liked you and Captain Morgan pose walking down that spaceship at the end of the movie?
Yeah, sand is coarse, but I like softer things. It's a line in the movie. Yes!
I actually think the end of that movie was the best part of the movie because you get so...
Oh my
you
God.
Know, my whole... No. My whole childhood, all I ever thought of... Because, you know, we grew up on the original trilogy, right? Where there is no Jedi. Luke's the only Jedi, right? So I wanted to see what it was like when there were other Jedis. And after watching episode one and two, I was like, f***ing kill them. And then episode three, when they did kill them, I felt sad inside. And I always questioned why I felt that way. I did really not like episode one, for instance, but I like Darth Maul. I like Qui-Gon Jinn. You know what I mean?
He survives, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Continue.
It's the Clone Wars TV stupid bullshit where they make up their
which
own
is
bullshit.
Canon, by the way. Like, second tier canon.
I call bullshit. That doesn't count.
Is it canon?
No, it's as bullshit as when they made the Planet of Mandalorians. Even though the Mandalorians, if you play Knights of the Old Republic, were, you know, scattered throughout the galaxy and destroyed. So, anyway, episode one.
I have to say episode two is totally my least favorite. And you know what? I will still see it in pop-up 3D. I will still go see it. I will still sit there
opening
and
night, buddy.
When I see episode two, I would have seen it on VHS, DVD, regular movie theater, IMAX, and then 3D. I don't know, for some reason, I keep getting stuck watching this movie a billion times, and I f***ing hate it.
All I'm hearing is Tom Bad Guy, Star Wars writer. That's what I'm hearing.
When I say episode two, just imagine Natalie Portman's hard nipples. That's what you should imagine.
I want to see it in IMAX. I'm just throwing it out there.
They're as big as your f***ing body.
Natalie Portman, I'm in there.
Besides Natalie Portman's hard nipples.
We talk about sexual harassment and then Natalie Portman's hard nipples.
It's a good transition.
This is the problem.
Is the issue. I'm calling us out.
I'm want to write an article about what we just said.
Yeah, you know, she's one of my favorite actors. But anyways, there was really cool characters. There really are. It's like, even though there's even all this bad stuff going on, you know, the shitty looking spaceships and, oh, the plot point where R2-D2 comes from Naboo. It's all, like, really cheesy. But at the same time, you have a guy with a double-bladed lightsaber. Those and, like, staff. And Duel of the Fates, I'm sorry, Duel of the Fates is one of the best songs in the trilogy.
Yeah,
John Williams is godlike.
That's what I was, because I was told Tom, I'm like, I'm bored. I'm going to have to wait an hour and a half for my wife to finish with school. I'm going to go see Phantom Menace in 3D. And I'm like, at least the music's good. Before I had seen it again. It's like nothing else. The music's excellent.
As someone who's...
had that, like, the theme from... I don't know how... I call it the Trade Federation theme. They're always playing when the droids are, like, marching and stuff. I had that stuck in my head all day today.
As someone who's only seen the old ones, I thought it wasn't bad. Like, it intrigued me enough to want to go finish watching the rest of them.
Yeah,
so
hold that.
I'll go check them out.
Hold that till 2. Hold that till episode 2.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. 2 so bad, but 3 is worth watching.
I'm going to say episode 3 is okay. I'm going to say that you will have a great life if you don't see that movie. I mean, I do like episode 3. Episode 2, though. Episode 2 is terrible. Natalie Portman's hard nipples. I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, episode 2. I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere.
That horrible dialogue. God.
I will become the greatest Jedi ever. I will even learn how to stop people from dying.
I remember that line. I think it was in the trailer, in fact.
The problem you run into is the original trilogy, no one knew what was going to happen in the next movie, so when he made them, he didn't have to stuff things into them. With the new ones, there's, you know, he can only make 3 movies. He said he was only going to make 3. It's time consuming, you know, that limits what you can do. So 2, you know, you have to force the relationship together, and it just doesn't feel real enough. That's the problem with 2.
I call bad writing. That writing
is the Jedi code prohibits romantic love anyway. Incidentally, does not prohibit sex. Emotionless, passionless, physical sex, perfectly fine.
Kissing your sister.
Kissing your sister, perfectly fine.
Be like a sailor on shore leave, and that's it.
Yeah, basically. It's bizarre, because the emotions are what the problem with the Jedi Code is. There is, what is it, there is no emotion, there's only peace or something like that, the Jedi Code?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, so, they have a bizarre outlook on romance anyway. Anakin obviously has no clue what to do with all these feelings, because he's basically been raised in the Jedi Order his entire life. Oh, and he was a slave before that. So he has mommy issues, and he's raised in an environment that's monastic, except it's not monastic. You can f*** all you want. You can't have any love, though. There's no passion.
I'm about to enrage the entire nerd community, because I think the Jedi Code's very hypocritical, because there's parts in the movies where they'll say, your feelings betray you, don't trust them. And then, like, Obi-Wan's trying to train Luke, saying, trust in your feelings. Like, what the f***? Do I do? Like, come on. Like, it's very, very back and forth, and it's like, and you know what? I don't blame Anakin for being Darth Vader, because he was probably so f***ing confused. I'm glad he was Darth Vader. At least he got some clarity.
the Jedi Order is a dictatorship. You only trust the feelings that Yoda tells you to trust.
You don't question.
Well, it's an oligarchy. I mean, by the way, how inept is the Jedi Council? They talk to Palpatine like every freaking day of existence. Most powerful dark Jedi in the galaxy. They can't f***ing tell who he is. Really?
They don't trust their feelings.
Yeah, they go talk to Palpatine and be like, you're Duke of New York, you're A-1. Like, yeah, we're going to go find the Sith Lord guy.
Well, here's the thing. I think they actually caught on to it. I think they were just afraid to put it out in public. That's why in 3 they start talking about. They had already had suspicions about it in episode 2.
They only had suspicions about it in episode 2 is because Count Dooku told them what was going on. Then they're like, maybe he's right.
Dooku tells Obi-Wan that, but before Obi-Wan even goes there, the fact that there is a clone army being generated and everything, Yoda starts being suspicious about it. So they kind of know he's in charge and what's going on, but they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yoda goes and gets
to go murder the guy.
Yeah, but Yoda's still like, hey, free clone army, what the heck?
Hey, Adam hasn't seen these, shut up.
That guy's Vader? Our world no longer makes sense. That's right. Frank spoiled it for me like 8 years ago.
So also, everyone likes, everyone talks about how awesome Yoda is in his sword fight. Dooku parries every one of his attacks with no effort. None. He sits there and just deflects attacks all day.
Well, it's because Yoda uses the Super Empire Strikes Back jump flip attack over and over and over.
Spin.
Yeah.
That's the best way to beat those games.
Yeah. Now, admittedly, Dooku's fighting style is purely designed to combat other lightsaber fighters. Form 2 is a very, well, it's a fencing style. It's lightsaber dueling. So it makes sense, but...
Well, you know why Dooku parries it so easy? The real reason is because it's Christopher Lee and everybody else.
I thought it was just because he's taller.
No, it's Christopher Lee, and that's why he parries everything.
It's like the fighting in part one, like, for the most part, most of it felt kind of bland to me. They were just, like, easily deflecting stuff and, like, just kind of twisting and, like...
Well, like,
but the fight at the end, though, was awesome. We went with Darth Maul and Jude. That was awesome.
And, well, like, Ewan McGregor?
They're the same person. Those guys are the same guy, okay?
Well, didn't Jude Law, like, his babysitter?
I actually really, I don't understand how Qui-Gon gets his ass kicked. They can't take him 2-on-1. And then for some reason the Padawans is like one shot, boom.
Yeah,
he used his rage, you know what I mean? He you know, he went with his emotional feelings, and the dark side, that's the whole thing. It gives you the quick power needed to achieve things, but it's like life. If you take the quick and easy path, like if I went and became a drug dealer, yes, I could get a lot of money quick, but in the end, I'm going to end up regretting it. Whereas I could work, you know, my ass off and actually, you know, sustain a life that's not built on lies. You know what I mean? Like, here's an interesting side note though. Ewan McGregor is Wedge Antilles' nephew.
Oh, the actor you played Wedge Antilles?
Oh, what?
Yeah.
The more you know.
That's why he was cast.
Yeah. Well, that's the show. We learned a lot. We laughed. We cried. We enjoyed ourselves. This is Tom Bad Guy. Of course, you can find me on the website. Also, hit me up at Twitter at Tom_Bad Guy. And Jowski, where can we find you?
At the website, geekjuicemedia.com, or on Twitter at Alex Jowski.
Or on the corner of 4th and Obrando.
That was you?
Hey, he's making that money for the website, all right?
I was wondering how he funds all that.
Hey, Kevin, where can we find you?
Website, geekjuicemedia.com, Mountains Hearth. I'll probably be bitching about Women in Black this week. Other than that, email me, kedaily83@gmail.com, especially if you love Phantom Menace and want to talk to me about it.
Oh, and we looked like we dropped Frank. Oh, God, we dropped Frank. I know you can find Frank at the website, Number Editions and The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Frank, where'd you go? Headache!
He went to the dark side, I think.
He went to smoke. He sent me a message just now.
Oh, what'd he say?
He clicked the link in a chat room.
Oh, get it. Not the virus, Frank, no! And Adam Scorpius Jones, thank you so much for being here tonight. It was awesome.
It was a pleasure.
Where can these guys troll you at?
They can troll me on Xbox Live at Scorpius Jones, or they can find me on Twitter at Scorpius Jones.
Next week we have Josh with us discussing TV.
And I'll be in Las Vegas.
Vegas, baby! Ooh.
Brooklyn.